You're listening to some of my best and most knobbly bits from today's show. For more of the same, tune into Moncrief weekdays from 2. Right now, John Edwards, he's originally from Dublin, is underground in Belfast in a custom-built coffin. He plans to remain there for 3 days, but being the 21st century, John has Skyped down there. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Could you start by describing to us the coffin you're in? Are they the dimensions of a regular coffin or is it slightly bigger?
No, it's more than slightly bigger. It's a good bit bigger. It's 8 foot long by 3.5 feet wide by 3.5 feet tall.
Right, so that means you're able to sit up a bit.
I'm sitting up and I've got a little bit of wiggle room.
Right, okay. And what facilities do you have down there with you?
Okay. Above my head, on my right-hand side, I have a tube that's 9 inches in diameter that goes to the surface. And it has, that's where food and clean water comes down. Down past my feet, 8 foot down the other end of the coffin, we have another 9-inch diameter tube that goes to the surface. And basically, that's where the food and water goes back out again.
Right. Okay. How do you transport the waste back up the pipe?
Well, it's the tube going to the surface. So anything that has to go back out again, my wife or one of the team, I hand it up like in bags and they lift it out.
Right. Okay. So your toilet basically is a sort of a bag.
Yes, it is. Yeah, you're getting more specific than anybody else ever did.
That's because I have a morbid curiosity. And so how are you filling your days?
I'm live streaming here inside the coffin, and we're speaking to people mostly in East Belfast here, but speaking to people all over the world who are struggling with addiction and depression and different life controlling problems.
Right.
So I could have 2 phones on the go all the time here. It's that busy.
Right. And you do obviously you do have Wi-Fi underground. So is the Wi-Fi pretty good?
I've got fiber optic broadband in my coffin. Yes.
Fancy. Most people don't have that in their houses.
So you
have lights and things there.
I have lights. I have a little shelf beside me with my cup of tea on it. I've got everything, yeah. I've got everything I need down here.
All right. And so can you make yourself a cup of tea there, or do you have to ask, above ground to send you down one?
No. I send a message to the team up on the surface that I need a cup of tea, and they pass it down the tube that's over my head.
Right. And how's it been so far? Have you felt at all any way kind of cramped or claustrophobic or any of the things one might expect?
I'm not feeling claustrophobic, but my body is a bit stiff. I had a liver transplant a few years ago. And one of the effects of a liver transplant, because I had hepatitis C, is your bones kind of get a bit stiff. So my bones are a little bit stiff down here at the moment, I got to admit.
Mm. And is there an exercise routine you can do in that restricted space to try and help that?
Yeah, well, just before you rang, I stretched myself out and I did some push-ups and sit-ups and I moved my legs and I massaged my legs a bit just to get the blood flowing again, yeah.
Yeah, and so why did you decide on a coffin? Why did you decide on this particular method?
Well, I've been working, I'm recovered from drug addiction and alcoholism for 26 years now, and I've worked full-time for 25 years helping people. And there are more and more people who are committing suicide, and they're younger as well. And people dying from accidental overdose. And I have to go to the funerals and comfort the mums and dads and families. And it's absolutely heartbreaking. And I'm desperate and passionate about reaching as many people as I can before I leave this planet. So I think of radical ideas that'll do that. And this is my latest radical idea. So I made this big coffin last year. I got buried in Halifax last year. And we actually spoke to over 18 million people last year in it.
Crikey.
And so this is the first time I've done it in East Belfast. So again, it's going out all over the world. And I don't know how many people we're speaking to. I think millions.
Right. Okay. Have you a target in mind of how many people you're hoping to speak to?
No, I've not. My only target is that it reaches the people it needs to reach, the broken, that they'll get in touch with me, because I'll be doing this live streaming on a regular basis now through my website and Facebook. So these people, from the comfort and the anonymity of their own homes, they can get in touch with recovery, with people like myself and my friends that'll freely, voluntarily help people.
You did have a long period of your own life as an addict, and you did yourself
as addicts tend to do, a lot of harm, physically speaking. Yes. How many times did you try to cease to be an addict, and what eventually helped you to do it?
Oh, I tried to stop so many times. I went to rehab a few times, went to psychiatrists and counselors and all kinds of things. I tried different religions and nothing could set me free. And it was only when my father died, I was homeless in London, that I hit my rock bottom, because I got barred from my father's funeral in Dublin. And that absolutely broke me. I missed my dad so much. I always wanted him to see me clean and free. And he would never see that now. And I just felt such a failure. I was the first son after four girls. And I just felt such a failure and broken, a waste of space and total waste of time. And I had not long been seriously sexually abused. And I was just completely broken as a man, completely wiped out.
Mm.
And the morning of my dad's funeral, I thought I had an option. I either kill myself or I get my life together. And I chose to get my life together. And I put every single bit of energy I have into it. And I humbled myself. And I had given up on religion, but I humbled myself and I asked God to help me. And I had a miracle happen in my life. And I've been drug and drink free 26 years now. But unfortunately, the consequences of sticking needles in my arms and sharing needles is I had hepatitis C from dirty needles from years ago. And it had turned into cancer by the time I found it. So I had to get a liver transplant 11 years ago. And I got my hepatitis C treatment 2 years ago. But in the meantime, I had cancer twice as well. And that was all a direct consequence of my drug abuse and my alcohol abuse.
You know, when you've been told you have cancer again and you know why you have cancer again, is it more difficult than to ask anyone to feel any sympathy for you?
I really don't expect, I take full responsibility of the consequences of my choices. It's nobody's fault I became an addict. It's wrong choices I made. And that's the reason, one of the reasons I'm recovered is I take full responsibility for my life, for my actions and the consequences. Therefore, I live a life alcohol-free, cigarette-free, drug-free. I exercise. I keep myself as fit as I possibly can. I'm 62 years of age now, but a couple of years ago, I was the Irish transplant champion in the 1500 meters, 800 meters, and 400 meters in the transplant games. So I keep myself fit. Before my transplant, I ran over 70 marathons, so I'm very fit.
So are you now, in terms of your burial, are you in day one or how far into it are you?
I'm in day two.
Yeah. And it's sleeping at night, does it get a bit weird?
Yeah, I was just saying, I had the most amazing dream last night. That in the dream, I was in a friend's house and they had a swimming pool in the back garden and they had a beach and it was lovely food and we were laughing and joking and I was having a great time in the dream. And then I woke up and I was in a coffin. That's the truth. That really happened.
How far underground are you? How deep buried are you?
I'm 4 foot underground.
Right. So can you, at night, can you hear traffic or can you hear any sounds from above ground?
Yeah, you can hear the noise of the traffic is drifting down. You got a draft. It was freezing last night.
Crikey.
So I have a hot water bottle. I have like a... Oh, I have it all going on down here. I have it. One of them things you put in the microwave to heat up. One of the neighbors here in Belfast brought me over like a shoulder thing. That's like a shoulder electric blanket. So I have that. I've got a duvet. Oh, and they're looking after me well up here.
Right.
Belfast people are the most hospitable people ever.
Do you have a tombstone?
Yes, I do actually. Yeah. The tombstone is up on top of the coffin here. It's up on top of the grave. And it's got written on it, John Edwards, # grave chat, and then it's got my website address on, but it's a proper tombstone.
Right, okay. Presumably you've used that before, though, in the previous burial.
Yeah, I used it my burial last year, yeah.
And so will this be a thing that you'll do regularly?
If somebody's brave enough to invite me, a church or an organisation, I'm going to get buried down in the Republic of Ireland later in the year, and I've been invited to do it in America. And I've just translated my book, my life story, into Russian. So we're going over to the Ukraine in a few weeks and we're looking at doing it over there as well.
That's fantastic. John Edwards' charity is called Walking Free. John, thank you very much for talking to us.
Okay, thank you so much. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. I hope you were enthralled, horrified or tickled pink. For more of the same, tune into Moncrief weekdays from 2:00.